Good morning. Welcome you on this beautiful morning. It is a beautiful September morning. We welcome you if you're joining us online. Some of you that may not be able to join us in person, but we are a community and that is broader and more worldly because of our internet connections. Although sometimes we miss seeing everyone person to person. So the morning joke, do you know that sometimes, have you ever gotten a call requesting assistance for a charity, asking you to donate to a charity or something? Thank you, Michael. Do you know that they have a list of people to call, but they do not call oysters? They do not call oysters and request money. You see, oysters are just terribly shellfish. By way of announcements, that was a groan. Thank you, Larry, for reminding me that. All right, I have to confess that I get some of these online from dad jokes. They're called, so fair warning. On the back of the bulletin, you see the announcements going on. Not too many things happening this week. Do you know of things that we need to list and bring to the attention of all? Diana Hunt, please. We'll wait till we get your microphone hot here.
Okay, my neighbor has a big garden and he has donated a box of tomatoes out here, so please help yourself.
For those of you online, it's going to be harder for you to procure those tomatoes, but you can dream of them. Sandy Tinney, stand if you would, please.
Saturday is the Women of Praise meeting at 10 o'clock. All the women at Burns are invited. Thank you very much.
Saturday, 10 a.m. here in the church in the fellowship hall, or in the parlor. Oh, please. Debbie Gunther, our mission chair.
Good morning. September's crop fundraiser is at Bubba's on Parker Nyliff on September 18th. That's all day. The flyer should be out. I'll try and have some in the narthex next week. And then in October is a clothing giveaway on October 19th. That's a busy weekend. October 19th is the clothing giveaway. October 20th is the crop walk, which I'll have more information about that as time goes on. I get it information this week. So thank you very much for your support.
Missional opportunities and ways to be faithful in our church family. Other announcements for the good of the order. Pia is not present with us this morning. Her member of the family is getting baptized. I don't know if I can figure out quite the relationship there, but they are having a baptism in the Tongan congregation this afternoon, so we celebrate them. Nothing else? I don't see anybody else indicating a desire to speak. So if you would, stand, wave hello to one another. Let's turn to our call to worship.
Please join me for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the highest. Praise God, all the angels. Praise God.
Praise God, sun and moon.
Praise God, all you shining stars. Praise God, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord,
for God commanded and they were created. Please join in the hymn, I Know Whom I Have Believed, hymn number 714.
Do you want to explain that they, well, let me explain. We have a wonderful video that goes with it, but it does not have the words on the video. So if you'd like to sing along, make sure you get your hymnal out. And that will give you the words. They're pretty straightforward, but words are number 714 in your hymnal. And enjoy the video.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know now I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to give our enlightenment unto me. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, know how I'm believing in his work, what beats within my heart. I know I believe it, and I've persuaded that he is able to keep committed unto him against that day. Spirit moves, convincing us of sin, revealing Jesus through his work, created faith in him. But I know I've been leaving, not persuaded that he is able to give up his life committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walked up there with him or meet him in the But I know and believe it, that I'm persuaded that he is able to give up what I needed unto him against that day.
Sit down.
Our first lesson today is Genesis 32, 24 through 31. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream. And likewise, everything that he said, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with the God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is that that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. By way of prayer time and prayer concerns, I asked for prayers last week for Jim Vitale. He passed this week. Quite a surprise to me. I thought he was in rehabilitation. I do not know all of the circumstances and have not been able to be in contact with those good people in a while, but prayers for Jim and his wife Linda and their families. He was alive, he died, and he is alive again in Jesus Christ, and we give him thanks. I have prayers from Paula Freitag. She asked prayers for the Kohlers. The Mr. Kohler, the husband of the family, passed away on Friday. And so we pray for that family as they also experience life and death and life again. She has a second prayer for Carolyn and Bob. This is a family that she knows, and he has cancer, and the cancer is spreading. And so they need prayers, and they need our prayers. On the back of the bulletin, you see some of the other prayers that we are lifting. I want to be aware of those and ask if there are any updates. Mike Summerall is here. He had surgery on his hand, so we're now going to call him Left Hand Mikey. No thanks, he said, but had surgery after a cat bite, and it became infected, and the infection was moving in, so he was hospitalized for a little bit of time, and we're glad that he's here. Other updates on things that you are aware of? Prayers that have been continuing. We should lift our extended family in Vietnam. Typhoon Yagi came ashore there. There are at least four dead. We lift them. Others, other prayers, other concerns. Georgia school shooting. I'm not sure how to lift the Georgia school shooting. Prayers, more gun violence, more concerns, more people traumatized. So we lift with them. Michael, Carol Danielson is going to wait for the microphone so the people online can hear her too. But if you have the microphone, she would like to share with us.
I'm confused. Is that Jim Latow or Usher that you mentioned first?
No, this is a friend we had from Johnstown.
Oh,
Colorado,
okay.
Jim Vitale.
Okay, thank you.
You're thinking of, the other Jim, yes, okay. Now this is Jim Vitale. It was a very good friend and a strong presence in the Johnstown Church. Others, other prayer concerns? I'm going to be aware of those, lift those journeys of our brothers and sisters. By way of celebrations, anybody going to lift any celebrations that they know? Today is Grace Armstrong is 5. We celebrate her. Your little girl, Nicole Vader, I have down that she's 25. Is that right? 23. I was hearing all kinds of numbers there, and none of them agreed with what I had written down there. And that's today. So happy birthday to them and celebrations of a baptism. I do not know the baptizan's name, or I would share it with you. But Monday, Lauta Mapa celebrating a birthday. I have down here that Colleen Blake has a birthday on Wednesday, and that she's going to be 22. Yeah, she says thumbs up on that, but I think that I have a data problem there as well. On Friday, Shirley Tracy has a birthday, and I do not know number of years on her. Carol Danielson, please, again.
My daughter who grew up here, Amy Danielson Griggs.
Right in front of your mouth there.
Amy Danielson Griggs, my daughter who grew up here in church. She is going to be 58 on Friday, September 13th.
September 13th? Amy Griggs, 58, on September. I don't know that I had her down here. Okay, so
I'm sure
now.
You didn't. I've never mentioned her before.
I see. You've never mentioned her before, so it would have been hard for me to have that in my database, but I'll add that and put that in there. Those are all of the birthdays and anniversaries that I have listed for this upcoming week. Any others? Holly, are you after something, or are you just grabbing a hymnal? All right, very good. No others? If not, I left again those prayers of silent prayers. But let us turn to our unison prayer. You find it printed in your worship bulletin or on the screen overhead. Let us read responsively. Hear us as we pray, O Lord. We are a people of faith who know that God gives us responsibility for our own conduct. The way we treat others reflects our relationship with God. We are called to be just, but beyond that, to feel with others what they are suffering and to be kind. Lord, help us to walk blamelessly before you, speaking truth from the heart and growing ever closer to you. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation and preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, you are all-knowing, all-seeing, all-caring. You are love and care. You are kindness. You are justice. You are righteousness. And you have the wonderful grace to continue to love us and care for us and to be present to us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be the pastor to serve this church. And on behalf of this church and all of those associated with it, I ask that you hear their personal prayers, their silent prayers, their prayers of concern, their prayers in the dark nights of the soul, their prayers that you hear and that you are present to. Be with your people, Lord. I ask on behalf of all of them and on behalf of Jesus Christ. Be with us, Lord, as we are in the midst of the world, in the midst of seeing tumultuous changes of religion and non-religion, of affiliated and non-affiliated, of faithful and of faith in other things. Help us be the rock upon which Jesus built his church, the solid foundation of which is care and righteousness and love and the new commandment to love one another. Lord God, we come before you. We celebrate the beauty of this morning, the bounty of our homes and our families and all the ways that you bless us beyond our imagination. When we come prayerfully listening, that we might hear your voice. Speak to us, guide us, and direct us. And especially through Jesus Christ, that we might know the path and the way to walk that is in your light. Lord God, be with us and be with us as we join one another in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you know, Barbara Shaw has retired and has departed from us, for which we are sad, and the organ remains closed. But Colleen Blake, a gift and a spirit in our midst, is going to fill in and offer her music abilities, and this morning the offertory. Thank you.
please stand if you're able for the New Testament reading, Mark 7, 24 through 30. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go to the demon has left your daughter." And when she went home, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. The word of the Lord.
Stephanie, I don't see a lot of young people, but we all need our aerobics this morning. And Rowan and Joey are here, and I know you're present. So are you going to come help lead the VBS piece? All right, she's on her way down here. Holly, you'll join and help? All right. Wayne, Ricky, you guys going to help too or no? All right. The VBS video is entitled "I Will Trust You." Did you get a little exercise there?
You're watching my
grandkids. Thank you for that advertisement there. We get that in marriage. How many of you, one of my favorite occupations, I have a very simple mind, but watching the videos, I was trying to figure out where they were filmed. Did you know where that one was filmed? Here in Colorado. That's Glenwood Caverns. The Glenwood Canyon Caverns. Been there years ago. All it was really was a lunch place on top with the cavern tour. Obviously, they've expanded a little bit. So if you haven't been up there, and if you want a thrill, they have a, it's up on the top of the mountains above the valley, and they have a swing, a giant swing, mounted right on the edge of the cliff, and you swing out over the abyss and swing back. So want a little thrill there. I will trust you. I'm not sure I want to just, I trust engineers to a point, but you know how that goes. Let's turn our attention to our sermon and to our scriptures and to our message for the morning. The New Testament, you heard about the Syrophoenician woman and her little daughter is ill. She's a Gentile. She's an outcast. The woman's daughter was ill and came and bowed down at Jesus' feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter, and Jesus replied, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." How many of you are hearing that for the very first time? Most of us have heard that. It's a part of our lectionary reading. And we always stop there, and there have been, how many sermons have you heard about that passage and about Jesus saying, we can't let the food be thrown to the dogs, to the Gentiles. He's calling the woman a dog. And it's an easy distraction because it's hard to imagine Jesus, the lover of humanity, the Prince of Peace, the heart of God, teaching us love one another, to call this woman a dog. But that sermon is for another time. You might have heard different rationales, different discussions about that, and they are many, but most of them, I think, narrow down onto the reality that he's simply calling there are Jews and there are non-Jews, and part of his audience would have been the Jews who were listening and who might have resented if he was caring for someone other than them. We don't want to go down that road any further than that because we want to go to something else here. You see, societal norms said that he must reject this woman. In fact, Jesus should not even be around her. A devout Jew, a faithful Jew, knowing the Jewish laws, and Jesus was well read on the laws and the rules, he should not be around a woman who was unclean, who was an outcast, and unsupervised and what have you. So he should not even be having anything to do with her, this outsider. But she persists. She says, "But sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then Jesus said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." This Syrophoenician woman is this unclean, this woman that he should have nothing to do with, and she has wrestled with him, and he has granted her her request. She's wrestled with him. That's kind of impertinent, isn't it? He says, and he kind of tells her to back, and she doesn't. She doesn't back away. She persists. She continues on. She's a little bit argumentative, if you will, and it borders on being disrespectful. But she has wrestled with Jesus metaphorically, yes? Indeed, one needs to pause and recognize that she is being righteous. Her prayers are not for her, for fame, fortune, glory. Her prayers are not for her, even for healing of herself, but for her daughter and for the casting out of the demon in her daughter. And out of her righteousness, Jesus responds and he blesses her. Her daughter is healed. Amen? Let's turn to the Old Testament. Jacob. How many of you remember the history, the story, all of the antecedent action of this passage. You remember Abram and Sarai, and men come to them and they entertain angels unaware, and the men bless them, and they're old and they have no children. And the men say, you will have more progeny than there are stars in the heaven. And Sarah laughs. You remember all of that? And there is the son Esau, who is born to Abraham and the maid Ishmael. And then God renames them Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham and Sarah have a son, Isaac. You remember that? You remember that God tells Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac, and Abraham is willing to do that, to be obedient to God. But Isaac is spared by at the last minute. You remember? So we're getting all the history tied together. Sometimes when we listen to Scripture, we hear it in so many little blocks and pieces that sometimes we need to just sit and put it all together so we can hear it all together. So here is Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, his son born of Sarah, his progeny, if you will. Isaac marries Rebecca. There's a lot of story in there, but they have twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob is born first with Esau holding on to his heel as if to pull him back in and say, no, I want to be first, or to say, I'm going to cheat and take over. Did I get that backwards? I did, didn't I? Esau comes out first. Jacob's holding on to Esau's heel. Keep me accountable. Come on now. And indeed, the name Jacob is not very flattering, and it has to do with being deceptive. He's trying to usurp his brother being firstborn. And so that goes on, and there's accounts. You remember that Esau comes home from working. He's famished, and Jacob has been at home helping cook with his mother, and he says, I'll give you a bowl of this good broth, this soup, this stew, in exchange for your birthright. So Esau sells his birthright to slake his hunger. And then later, when his father is quite old, his mother helps defraud the father into giving the oldest son's final father's blessing should be going to Esau, and Jacob disguises himself and receives the blessing. He's defrauded his brother multiple times. And it comes to a head, and Esau says, the next time I see you, Jacob, I'm going to kill you. I am going to kill you. And Jacob flees, and he's traveled far. He's traveled away, and there are stories of him and kind of some interesting stories about how he is deceived and defrauded and yet overcomes, and he continues on. So now we come to the point in the story where Jacob is returning home. He's gone out. He's achieved fame and fortune. He is wealthy. He has camels, and he has sheep, and he has cattle, and he has wives, and he has children, and he has riches, and he's returning home with all of this. And as he comes, he sends everyone across the river ahead of himself, and he stays behind. And he stays behind, and he prays because he remembers that Esau has said, the next time I see you, I will kill you. And in fact, some of Jacob's entourage have reported that Esau is massing attack parties to come and to slay them. They are preparing to slaughter Jacob and all of his entourage. And Jacob has a dark night of the soul that night before. And in the night, he wrestles with God. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket and, And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And so he receives a blessing. It would seem that would be the climax of the story, but the climax is actually the next day when Jacob now comes and he sends money and he sends riches and he sends wealth ahead, and he bows down before Esau on the plain. Seven times he bends down. Seven times he prostrates himself. That number seven, that's the complete number. It means as many as there are. It's like a week. There are 7 days in a week. They have all the days in a week. And so all the times that he needs to bow down and offer himself up as humbled, he bows down before Esau. Humility. Admission of guilt. Contrition. Were those the things that metaphorically he was struggling with in the night? Those must have been things before him. This is not just a way to buy himself back into his brother's good graces, because God, the one with whom Jacob has been wrestling, God blesses him. So somewhere from the heart, from the depths of who he is and what he's about, he has confessed and desires to do better. He has wrestled with God and has prevailed. Interesting thought, saying that out of these two scriptures, we are called to wrestle with God. It kind of perplexed me, and I've been stewing on it all week long, and I continue to stew on it, and I'm stewing on it now here. Does this mean that we should not just be obedient and submerge ourselves and accept what God says to us? Should we argue with God? Should we say, no, I won't accept this. I demand this other, or I will not let you go until you bless me. There is the core of what happens here. Is this is not about a prayer that you're never, ever going to offer to God and God's going to respond to. I would like you to take care of my neighbor who offends me at night by playing music tonight. I'd like you to do something to them and take them out. That's not a prayer that God is going to hear. The vanquishing of enemies, the destruction of opponents, the gaining of riches and wealth and power, those are not prayers that God is going to hear. So that wrestling with God, what does that mean? Perhaps it means wrestling along with God. Wrestling as ourselves to try and say what parts of us are righteous and what parts of us need to rethink who we are and whose we are. Fred Craddock, you know him, he's my favorite preacher. He said, faith is a lively, vigorous, and insisting power that does not give up easily. I think that's a wonderful statement. Faith. What is faith? And how much do you need? And how faithful do we have to be? And are there any who are purely faithful? And are those of us who have those minor niggling doubts in the backs of our mind, are we unfaithful? Are we not worthy? Perhaps those are the places where we need to be vigorous and lively. Look at our faith and look at God and wrestle toward righteousness. I do not believe that we could wrestle with God and sway God to do our will. That's upside down. And I think there are those who might say, well, if you pray correctly, you can get your prayers answered. That may be true if you are righteous and faithful and your prayers align with the prayers of God. But no, we cannot sway God to our will. So how do we become Jacobs, whose life has been one of deception to gain, twisting of behaviors and arranging things so that he prospers and others do not? And yet now he comes to the one place where he needs that reconciliation. He's willing to give up all he's gotten. He gives away his riches. He gives away his cattle. He gives away his all of this offered up to Esau in contrition. He admits where he has failed, where he has gone wrong, and seven times bows down before his brother. Humility and the desire to respond and connect, loving one another, his brother Esau. And his brother Esau runs to him, and they hug each other and weep on each other's shoulders. There is God. There is reason to wrestle with God. There is God's grace. Amen? All right. Miss Colleen, I might put you back to work if I might. We are going to sing our closing, Christ Be With Me. I'll ask Mark to come help us lead. We're doing verses 1 and 2. Is that what I understand has been arranged here between you two rascals? Okay, all right. Please stand if you're able and join the hymn. If you have experienced those dark nights of the soul when we struggle with those things that we can ignore in the daytime and the busyness and all of the action around us, and yet at night, honestly and only with God, we struggle. We wrestle. May our wrestling be blessed by righteousness. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you'll join hands, let's sing our closing. People said, amen. Amen.